And the guy that wrote it is on the blower with us right here, right now. Welcome, if you will, the doctor of love, Dr. Bob Schwartz, Ph.D.
Good morning.
Hey, Doc, how are you?
How are you?
Great. We got a whole crowd of people here. We've all been thumbing you, passing your book around here. Dr. Bob Schwartz wrote The One-Hour Orgasm. Doc, you trying to kill us or what? What's the deal with this?
Well, it actually, it's a solution for your last caller, because that's one of the biggest complaints that's going around now, that either one or both partners' sex drive is low. And the book is based on this college course. And during the course, you're taught this one method that actually does create the kind of effect that the title says. But the main use of it is to control the sex drive, to either make it go up if it's too low or down if it's too high, and also to control the contractions. So instead of having what they call at the university a genital sneeze, which is okay, you can have this go on for as much as an hour, the contractions.
My God, an hour.
It certainly puts the intimacy and romance back in your life.
Yeah, I'd like to cram for that course, eh? Sweet.
I would have studied harder if I had courses like that when I went to college.
Doc, I see there's one chapter here where you can get a two-minute quickie. Is it possible? You don't have to go an hour the whole time.
No. That's for the people in Silver Springs. This is the two-minute version. So we know you guys are always busy.
Oh.
So we put that in for you. But that's what happens. Sometimes one of the partners not in the mood, and the other one can say, come on, honey, just 2 minutes. Just give me 2 minutes, and then I'll stop. And then at the end of 2 minutes, when he says, okay, I'm going to stop, you'll notice that she'll find a lot more time. She'll get very interested and think these other things aren't as important.
Listen to this chapter. Let me read one of the doctors writing here. Doc, I got to, you know, we read earlier, we were reading snippets on the air of your book. And all the supplies you need, from the candles and the lights and the flashlights, and I think I'm doing a DNC rather than making love here. But anyway, listen to this with this mirror. Here's what you're supposed to do with the mirror. It's called, in the chapter, Body Inventory. Stand over and straddle your handheld mirror. See what you look like to the shower drain. Then get your flashlight, squat over the mirror, and see what your tuchus looks like. Have you looked at your tuchus in the past year? You probably don't want to know what it looks like. Most people imagine that it's going to be horrible and disgusting. Look at it anyway. Doc, if you had my ex-wife Estelle squatting over a mirror and I walked into the room, I'd be like, watch it, honey, don't fall in that trench yet.
No.
I don't believe I'm going to be holding, especially, Doc, I'll be honest with you. You know, I feel like I'm a lumbering diddy bop and daddy. I'm okay, but I don't believe I'm going to hold a mirror under my avocado spice. I mean, well, isn't that the kind of thing I'm going to look at and say, boy, I feel like some sex now. Yeah.
Well, you certainly want to lock the door when you do that exercise.
I think you do.
If somebody walks in on you, I think your reputation's ruined.
I think so. I mean, you walk in like that, I'd probably look at myself and think to myself, bad man. That's never been done on the right. And probably a lot of dames would look at themselves, never realize that. Right there. And you wondered why there was some reluctance.
One of the things that's hard, though, if you don't think your body's attractive, it's very tough to get into bed with confidence. So one of the things that this exercise does is, and especially for women, because when women look in the mirror, they do it differently than men. When women look in the mirror, they look for what's wrong with them. So they talk about their fat, their cellulite, and their wrinkles. And they usually say it out loud if they're married. And their husband usually says something like, honey, I think you look great. And she says, shut up. I'm fat. I'm ugly.
So what are you supposed to say? Yeah, you could drop a couple of pounds. What do you say to when someone's going, oh, I don't like it, my butt sags, I'm too fat, I'm too skinny?
All you got to do is just keep taking her doubt away from her, because if she starts to doubt her own attractiveness, you're going to get cut off real fast.
Wow. So do you find most people in marriages are like you? How long have you been married, Doctor?
15 years now.
15 years. Same woman, huh?
Same woman. We only did the course that the book's based on 4 years ago, and we thought we had a great sex life, except, this guy it's like we could count up to 10, and all of a sudden this guy walks in the door and he can count up to 100. So you start to look like a sexual pygmy after that. And we'd heard about the course because people were taking it, especially women, and losing weight. And the first book I wrote was Diets Don't Work. So I wanted to find out, how do you take a sex course and lose weight? You know, inquiring minds want to know.
Mm-hmm.
And what I found was this thing called sexual energy is something that can be controlled. But usually it's out of control, especially around the time of a woman's period or ovulation cycle, and women will typically eat heavy, greasy foods during those periods because it brings that energy down from an uncomfortable pressure, tension kind of level to a more calm level, but it also makes their hips and thighs grow. So one of the ways to control this sexual energy, which he calls tumescence, is through this method called the one-hour orgasm, and you learn how to put this new kind of passion and intimacy and romance in your life. The big problem is only one out of three women have orgasms during intercourse. This has been true since the 50s. You know, we thought we'd clean that up in the 60s, but it's still a problem in the 90s. And men have orgasms every time. So the problem is...
life's bitter injustice.
What are you talking about?
I got mine, baby. Nice.
But they get mean after a while. They
get
mean. Don't get theirs.
Yeah, I remember, I guess she don't mind me telling the story. On my honeymoon night, my honey and I were all over each other coming up in the elevator, and we had the honeymoon suite. I mean, we got in the honeymoon, I slammed her up against the door, and with our bag still there, took her hungrily. Now, admittedly, it wasn't an hour session, but after 5 minutes of hungry rotten, ding, dow, doip, doo, I walked over to the dresser to take off my cufflinks. I looked back. She's still writhing around. I said, what are you doing? I'm done. She said, I know you're done. I'm trying to get the doorknob out of my toilet. I said, hang on a second, baby. Man, oh, man. So sometimes what you don't make up for in length of session, you can make up for in frantic, perhaps a shorter liaison.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
more
not,
lively.
It's not about time. It's really about pleasure and about increasing. What happens with most couples after they get married is they stop dating. They go to movies and restaurants, but I don't mean that. I don't mean they don't set aside intimate alone time just to be together. And if you don't do it deliberately, everything in life runs downhill, but especially you'll notice that your lovemaking. They said if you put a penny in a jar every time you make love during the first year, that you probably won't, and you took a penny out every time you made love after that, you probably will never empty the jar during your entire marriage.
Oh, that's a cheery note, huh? Jesus.
But that's what happens because people, you know, what did your father and mother teach you about sex?
Don't do it. It's dirty. It's filthy.
And that's about the extent of most of our sex educations.
Yeah.
So it's not a wonder that, you know, that about two out of every three first marriages right now are ending in divorce. Because, you know, if it wasn't for sex, you wouldn't get married. You'd just shake hands and be friends. So it makes a little sense to learn a little bit more about this thing and about each other and their bodies.
Have you been married before?
No, actually, twice before. I got it right this time.
Wow. Wow. But, yeah, this one looks like it's going to last, yeah.
It looks. If you see a picture of...
Yeah, I got it. On the back page, you look like a sprightly couple.
Oh, yeah. You look at my wife's face. If she looked any happier, you'd have to shoot her with a tranquilizer dart.
Yeah. Look at her, yeah. She's one to explore, right? Look at her.
Please,
yeah, you don't get a round mouth from eating square meals, do you? Oh, that's very nice, Doctor. So, this is great. Well, Dr. Bob Schwartz is our man, S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z. And the book in big, bold, red print, The One-Hour Orgasm. If things are a little slow around the ranch, I notice you don't address the flying gamma hooch, which perhaps may be in another book. Still, it's Dr. Bob Schwartz, The One-Hour Orgasm. Thanks a million, Doc.
Thanks, and be sure, if they can't find it in the bookstore, tell them to call 800-INFORMATION. Don't ask for the name of the book, because AT&T had a problem with making the listing The One-Hour Orgasm. So you got to list it, ask for the initials, OHO.
O-H-O.
If you ask for OHO, if you can't find it in your bookstores, we'll send it out to you. Mention your program, and they won't charge them a shipping charge.
Whoa. So I'm thrown in as like a bonus.
For the grease man.
Yes, sir. It's great to talk to you, Doctor, and I look forward to talking to you again, okay?
Thank you.
Do you need to hang on a second? It's in the local bookstores. Okay, it's in the local bookstores. We just found out.
Good, great.
All right, thanks, Doc.
Thanks.
Take care. Bye-bye. There he goes, Dr. Bob Schwartz.